Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. It's not just me when you're talking about New Life Live. By the way, we're on Facebook Live. You could go right there right now. When I say us, I'm talking about joining me today, Milan Yurkovich. Milan, how are you?
I'm well, Steve. Thank you so much. It's good to be with you. And I'm glad to be back on the show here after a little break.
Yeah, me too. I'm really glad for you to be back. So, Milan, I've been talking to people on Facebook Live about grief and grieving. And, you know, when somebody dies, I know when my father died, I entered a grieving process. It was, well, it was very precise. I mean, I knew I had to let go. I grieved. It was, he died. He wasn't coming back. I'd see him in heaven and all of that. But there's a lot of undefined grief, or it's more difficult when you don't know what's the end. What is it I need to grieve? I'm not fully aware of how bad it's going to get. Can you talk about that a little bit, the need for us to grieve when it's not so simple in what we've lost?
Steve, that is a great question, and it's very profound, actually, what you said, because grief can be complex based upon the level of resolution that we have as an individual with our history and our past and our own emotions and thoughts, especially, too, if the person we've lost, there is something about them that has an impact on my unresolved emotions or history. And so it leaves us in a precarious place where we are struggling with what do I feel, what do I believe, what should I have said, what should I be doing. Guilt can come in, anger can come in, lots and lots of different things to wrestle with. And when and also if that person traumatized me. So we really, if we have what I'm going to call a more complex grief, we need more help. We need to see someone that perhaps could help us with unresolved emotions or feelings of hurt, abuse, neglect that we experienced as a child. I love what you're doing on Facebook Live relative to grief. David Kessler worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on toward the latter end of her life, and with her permission, he added one more step to the grief cycle, which was to find purpose with the loss, that the loss would create a purpose in you, that somehow your life would be different because of the loss, and you would have a purpose that was distinctive from prior to this loss. And I think that was is a great thing to also think about, Steve.
Well, I agree. And, you know, when Dave Stoop and I set out to do the seven Keys to Spiritual Renewal, which was the foundation of the Spiritual Renewal Bible, you know, we said, okay, no matter what you've gone through, there is this transformation stage. And our job is to take whatever horrible thing, or you could say whatever Satan meant for evil, whatever could be done negative from it, and you turn that into one of the most powerful things in your life. Whatever the loss was, you make it something for gain by transforming it, by developing new mission and meaning, or like Kubler-Ross's person, it's new purpose. All right, We'll take a break. We'll come back. More New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000. So glad you're with us today. Mylon Yurkovich with me. And I hope that this is going to, you're leading up to a really good, really good weekend coming up. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and really glad you're with us here today. 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to, how about Terry, Lake George, New York. That's where Terry's calling from. And WMNV is the station. Terry, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Anything we could help you with?
Yeah, I guess I'm looking for some direction, and maybe I need a slap in the face to say, yes, I'm the one that's wrong. I have a daughter-in-law that does not like any relationship with our family. We probably see our grandchild every other week. And the relationship is very distant, and I'd like to have more connection with my grandson.
Well, when did it all go away?
Well, she holds grudges for a long time, and when she got pregnant, they told us we were not encouraging because we thought they should have gotten their education first before they got married, and so they had the child first and then got married. So she was mad about that, that we didn't, like, ecstatic, overwhelmed with it. And then when they made a choice about living one place to another, she doesn't work. I had voiced my opinion that maybe that wasn't, you know, great because she's not working. But so, well, okay.
So you had some negative stuff there, which is kind of a cautionary tale, I think, Mylon, for all people that want to see their grandkids. Perhaps not the time to be negative.
Well, you're right, Steve. The point here is, you know, the Bible says clearly, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, to cleave to his wife, the two should become one flesh. And the word leave in the Hebrew means leave. That was kind of a joke. It really means leave. Now,
yeah.
the point here is leaving means a disconnection emotionally, cognitively, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to a point of, you know, like severing an umbilical cord. So the key thing here is every time you comment on their choices, you're going to put another wedge into the relationship. And so you talked about a slap in the face. We would never do that, of course. But it's a good wake-up call, and I love that you led with that. That was a great opening lead. Do I need something? Yes. We need to really realize this isn't my boy anymore. He's a grown man. Mm-hmm. He left me, and he's married to another woman. They're going to be an independent family. Therefore, my commentary will soak in, and sometimes it can put my relationship in jeopardy. Number two, there are some people, and we talk about them in our book, How We Love, that hold deep grudges, who remember everything, hold it against you, and then from that point on, your relationship is tainted, and they see you through a darkened lens from that point on. I think what could be important would be to come back and really sit down and have a great conversation saying, look, we've done some personal evaluating and we realize that our commentary on your choices has not been wise. So we'd like to apologize for that and ask for a start over, a do-over, a redo, whatever you want to call it. And that oftentimes will help a person who carries grudges. It will help them allow them to put it aside because you now agree with them. that wasn't a good thing. So I would recommend those two thoughts.
Yeah, and, you know, the question would be, is there any, and you really have to, if you could think of this before you ever make a comment, is any of these choices we don't like that we're going to comment on and be negative about, Are any of those issues worth not being able to see my grandkids whenever I want to see them? And I would just say it'd be pretty rare that any of them would be worth that. Now, let me tell you why. Maybe already you've produced some kind of problem with the kids that you have. You're not really going to make an impact by criticizing them and questioning them, and it is time for you to pull out of the parenting role. So you do still have a great opportunity to impact the grandkids. Learn from what you did. But if you're still criticizing your kids once they're off and married, well, then I have to wonder, well, did I learn enough to be a great grandparent to the grandkids, or do I have more lessons to learn? Because at some point, you really do have to transition from the angry parent, overly controlling, directive parent, to more like a coach or a happy advocate to whatever is going on. When we can do that, I think we've really shown that we're the mature parent. And we're ready to be great grandparents. Otherwise, you know, you end up just absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable because you can't see your grandkids. We're working
you
on
know,
some...
Steve, one of the,
yeah, go
one
ahead,
of the interesting things here is that there can be problems on both sides of the equation. Sometimes you have the kids that are struggling because they can't leave and cleave, so they maintain a closeness to the parents. Mm-hmm. And they really struggle, they themselves, with letting go and moving on. But then the parents also struggle, and this could be the other side, where they just think that my opinions matter, I've always shared them, and but we don't realize it's criticism. You use that word, and I think a lot of times we question things. And others view it as criticism. We're just trying to make a statement. We're just trying to give an opinion. And we have to be, I agree, Steve, we really have to be careful with those and decide when are we going to keep our mouth shut. Now, Steve, you and I have grown kids that are married, and we have to be cautious because we're going to see things that they would do that we just normally wouldn't do.
Right, and so we kind of have to resign ourselves that either they learn the lessons we did or they learn the lessons we didn't. But the relationship and the connection has to be the number one thing, not them altering something, fixing something, or doing it the way we think it ought to be done. Okay, so I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids, and I think that's going to help you. It's going to help you see how you loved your kids, maybe some problems that developed there. I hope it's going to be a blessing to you. I think that it will. I'll get that right off to you. And anybody else, you can get that at 1-800 New Life, newlife.com. Now, let me mention, it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And, you know, there's something that you could do right now to increase your mental health in this pandemic, epidemic time. First thing you could do is you could get some exercise. Research shows that many antidepressants that are on the market today, that if a person gets good, vigorous, regular exercise, it can have the same impact that medication can. Now, that's not in all cases. Sometimes in chronic, deep, huge, big depression, it isn't going to do it. But exercise. Secondly, getting rid of sugar can improve your mental health. You know, the less sugar, the more stable the moods, the healthier that you need. And then the third thing you could do here on Mental Health Awareness Month, connect with somebody. Do a FaceTime call, a Zoom meeting, whatever you can do. Don't let this be an excuse not to do anything. Do whatever you can to connect with some other people. Just a couple of ideas for you there. Let's go to our next caller. And right here, let's talk with Karen. She is calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania, WBYN. Hello, Karen. How are you today?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Great. What's going on in your life?
I'm
a little nervous. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I'm very nervous. Actually, I actually met you back in 2003. I was at the Land Cruise in La Jolla, and I'm a longtime member. But anyway, so the reason I'm calling, back in La Jolla, La Jolla, California, So anyway, I'm calling about a relationship. I'm 54 and single, and I don't want you to judge me for that.
I certainly won't.
So I'm okay. I'm just trying to decide if it's. I'm having a lot of conflict about it, and I'm just thinking like I should, you know, have more peace. It's only been a few months, but. You know, and I heard Mylan on the last show say about, like, psychosis in the first 6 months. You know, when you kind of, like, all those warm, fuzzy feelings, and I'm just, when you start to see things for what they really are, and I'm just trying to decide whether, am I just being intolerant, or if it's something I really need to just kind of move on from.
Why don't you just tell us something that you see, and I will let Mylan respond with what he thinks about what you're seeing.
Okay. So when I first met him, I mean, he came out of a bad marriage, a bad, you know, long-time marriage, and there it was some drug and alcohol use in the marriage. You know, he came to Christ a few years ago, which I love. He was honest with me, told me he was on some medications. He takes certain meds. He says it's for sleep, but I really question if it isn't a bipolar thing just because of the meds he's on. And I'm a nurse. I know some things about that. But anyway, you know, I'm pretty much a health nut. He's a health nut. I love that he's a Christian. But he is a truck driver. He admitted to me he smokes on occasion and also that he drinks on occasion with these meds. So, you know, it's just certain things that are just coming to the surface that I'm just kind of, you know, I guess really, you know, I'm thinking long term here. I don't want to, you know, I mean, we both are. And, you know, when you just have to be realistic about what you can accept and what you can't. You know what I mean? And
yes, we do.
And, you know, I guess that's what I'm trying to, yes. And another thing, I think this is really kind of crazy, but he's, with the whole pandemic thing going on, he believes in that whole Bill Gates conspiracy thing, which makes me a little nuts. But anyway,
what is the Bill Gates conspiracy thing?
Oh, haven't you heard about that? That Bill Gates caused the virus, and that the vac and he's going to have this vaccine that has a chip in it, and people are going to have to get a vaccine so he can kind of have control of. It's really crazy. I can't believe you haven't heard about it, but.
It's crazy. No, I have not heard about it, and I can really kind of tolerate a lot of things and understand how people believe a lot of things. That's one that that's a tough one. Okay, so Mylan, what are you thinking here?
Really...
I mean, let's see what Mylan has to say about it.
Okay.
Well, on an earlier show, I quoted another author who was talking about the euphoria that we experience when we fall in love. And she called it a temporary psychosis, which is a temporary when we're not basing life in reality. We're believing something that's a fantasy because we so desperately want to believe it. And we continue to live in that fantasy and we reinforce the fantasy of how good this will be and how this won't matter and that conspiracy theory won't affect me. And his previously, the previous marriage that he had failed, well, that was them. This won't happen to us. And what happens is we end up saying I do to someone in a marriage vow. And then 6 months later, when the reality sets in more fully, then people then call our show again and say, you know, I'm married to somebody that isn't meeting my needs, you know. And so we always ask, what was the process of deciding to make a choice to marry this person? And so we have to really work hard to push past the euphoria and the fear of being single. And you're right. When we get married at this age, at 54 years old, the choices are limited. So I think I heard you say something to the effect that, you know, you're going to have to put up with something. But I would really encourage you to slow down and really take you know, a year to 2 years to evaluate whether this is a very solid relationship or not.
Okay. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about this. You asked me if not to judge you. I think you might be judging yourself over this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. So glad you're with us here today on New Life. We're talking with Karen. Hey, Karen, you still there?
Yes, I am still here.
Okay.
Hey, and in my defense, let me just start off by saying about the 54 and not judging. No, and I love you guys, and I listen to you all the time, and I always hear God speaking through you guys. But the one time I did, there was a caller, and she had called in, and she was dating some guy 60 and single. And then I think you kind of said something. That's why, and I'm just really, like, joking about it, because, you know, for the most part, I am okay being 54 and single. But I do, you know, I long for that in my life, honestly. Do you know what I mean? And when Mylan said to slow down and take, like, a year or two, you know, I just don't feel like I have that time. You know what I mean? That's why I feel like I need to make a decision. I feel this pressure. And I don't know if it's that
okay,
that's causing
me. So that's what I was saying. You're saying to me, don't judge you for not being married at your age. But I think you're judging you, and that judgment is causing you to rush something. Now, I'm just going to do for you
what I wish. Well, I just don't want to waste time. Do you know what I mean?
Well, right. But here's the thing. So you rush it. And then you spend the next 10 years of your life figuring out that was a horrible mistake and miserable.
Oh, right.
And then,
yeah.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I wrote the book Avoiding Mr. Wrong, right? With Meg Ring.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if this is Mr. Wrong, but I can guarantee you it's Mr. Not Right Now.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So, if you don't think you have enough time for Mr. Not Right Now to become Mr. Right, then you need to move on right now. If you think this guy might develop into Mr. Right and you have the time, then take the time and let that happen. Now, here is what I would be dealing with. I would honestly not be telling radio hosts about your suspicions about medication. I'd be telling him, hey, wait a second. I know medications. Those aren't sleep medications. Secondly, I know these medications, they tell you don't drink with it if you're taking this. You are. That makes me question your judgment here. And so I'd be talking to him about those kinds of things. Secondly, the Bill Gates conspiracy is most concerning to me. Because guess what happens?
Is it?
People, people that think Bill Gates is being unfaithful to his mission in life, to the foundation he's created to help people.
Him and his wife.
Guess what happens? After they get married, they're suspicious that the person they married is being unfaithful. I'm just telling you, that
he just I believe that, and you know he has friends that believe this, and he, I mean, the one time I just totally went off on him because I'm like, I cannot believe you're saying these things. Like, this is just really crazy to me. Do you know what I mean? And I have, you know, the one thing we have a very open, you know, it's we have some good communication, and I have talked to him about the medication and asked him certain things, like, do you really just use these for sleep, and also, you know, about the drinking. So, you know, we have talked. It's just I think that there's another discussion that has to happen, and I don't know if I just need to, you know, my thing is, do I date others to see, you know, just continue to date others to see if it brings me back to him, if we work something out, or, you know,
Well, the issue
is... I feel a lot of pressure.
Here's the issue.
I feel a lot of pressure time-wise. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so the issue is he's got some problems, right? You can't deny that. What's he doing about his problems?
We all do, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. What are you doing about your problems? And what's he doing
right.
about
well,
your...
Let me chime in here just for a second. Karen, what I'm hearing from you is that it creates anxiety in you to wait. And so what it tells me is to be single and or separated is an uncomfortable feeling in you. And I would encourage you to look at whatever the emotions are underneath that. And I'd like to suggest that the feelings you're feeling in this state of separation, that is to be single, you're not joined with someone, I'd like to suggest that whatever those feelings are, you felt for your whole life, for a long time, maybe as long as you can remember. When you experience separation from someone, you feel anxious, or you feel overwhelmed, or you feel threatened, or you feel panicky, or you feel scared, which causes you to move toward people quickly because you will feel better off when I'm connected. And that is a dangerous place to be. It's a place that isn't just you, Karen. Something else perhaps instilled that within you, perhaps even as a little girl, the need for proximity and closeness. So you need to work on you to figure out what is that drive, what's driving the bus there. And 54 years old is young. It is not old. And so you do need to slow down, take a year. But one of the things I would do, Karen, if I were you, is I would meet with a therapist and ask what inside me is driving me to want to connect so fast that I am blowing by the red flags right and left.
Can All I, right. I mean, I know we've been on here quite...
Go ahead.
I know we've been
can
on
you
here
what?
Quite long, but can we continue? Can we continue? Can I still have just a few more minutes?
You can. We'll hang on. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live and Karen's dilemma. Going to give her some help right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're still on with Karen. Karen, you had one more thing you wanted to deal with here?
Yeah, just one more. Yeah, one more thing. No, I just wanted to respond to Mylan. You know, Mylan, I just want to say I've never been married. I've been single, and I've always been okay with that. I just think it's a matter of getting older, and I know you said 54 is young, and I feel very young, and I'm in good shape, and, you know, I have... you know, a lot, I think, going for me, but, you know, I think I just feel like, you know, time is running out. Do you know what I mean? So,
I very much respect
I'm sure,
Karen, and I think that you've been single your whole life, and then somebody comes along that shows interest in you, and you find interest in them. It's just really a great feeling. I don't want to minimize that. All I'm suggesting is that when you slow down and you take a year, you get to examine an individual in all of the seasons of life. You get to see how they respond and to pressure, to stress, to distance, to closeness. And you just get to evaluate yourself in the relationship as well. Every couple makes up a core pattern that can be very difficult to handle. And if you were even interested in going to the altar someday and getting married, I would do a ton of premarital counseling with somebody that really understands a couple dynamic and can help them. So it's just, Karen, we want to defend you. We want to help you have a successful life. And Steve and I have seen thousands of people rush too quickly and then end up being in tremendous pain later on. And so we just we care for you.
Yeah, and here's my message to you, Karen. We care too much to not tell you the truth here when you've waited so long and saved yourself so long. I don't want to see you make a mistake after all that time. Please don't do it. So, hey, send him our way. Get a counselor. Be sure he's doing some kind of work, and you do some work too, so that it becomes a good thing, not a bad thing. All right. Let's go to Debbie, Toledo. Yeah, go ahead, Mylon.
Steve, you know, you and I have seen people that have been single for a long time.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they get married at 45, 50, 55, 60.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a rude awakening for them to have to share a house all of a sudden and share a bed and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Do you agree that sometimes that is a huge shocker?
It is. The longer you've waited to get married, the longer you need to wait to marry somebody that you think you could be married to, because you are set, and it is frustrating. But look, when you've got some character flaws here, and some, you know, some things that aren't just normal things, boy, I think you really gotta take a second look. Definitely slow down. All right, let's go to Debbie, Toledo, Ohio, Sirius XM. How you doing? How's it going today?
I'm pretty good. The sun's shining. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Doing okay. How could we help? We want to help.
Well, I hope you can. I'm not very good at being concise, but I will try. I'm actually calling on my younger daughter's behalf. She'll be 31 in this month, and she's been married for over 5 years to a man who just turned 38 in April. We are Protestants. She was, and my husband is a pastor. She married a Catholic. We asked her if they had discussed the differences, and she says, "Oh yeah, we've got it under control." Well, long story short, on their honeymoon, he started texting other women. He came back not wearing his wedding band, and he's never treated my daughter like a wife. And she left him a couple of years ago for about 10 months, and they have done counseling since beginning the fourth month after they were married, and so it hasn't done any good. Well after,
you know,
she left him, he came...
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
He talked to... Okay, after she left him, he talked to my husband and me, and I said, "You need the Lord." And he says, "Well, I've got him." And he said, "I love your daughter." Well, she went back to him, and we thought everything was fine, and found out just a couple weeks ago that everything is not, and that he's acting like he did before. He drops the F-bomb. His language is terrible. He doesn't treat her like a wife. They don't have sex. She found evidence of that he's been looking at porn, not online, but in some magazines or something. And so he finally went to see, he has ADHD and refuses to take medication for that. Now that she's threatened to leave, he went to his doctor, who gave him an antidepressant, which he is taking, I think, as far as I know. But, of course, it hasn't been long enough to kick in. It's only been about a week. And she is now, she wasn't close to the Lord when she married him, but she is now. She's growing in her faith.
You're going to have to get to a question.
Non-denominational church.
You're going to have to ask us a question.
She, My question is, does she have any biblical reasons to leave him and get a dissolution? He's not trying. He's feeding her hope and then doesn't act on it.
Okay, here's a quick question. Now, why isn't she calling us? Why are you the one that's calling us? I'm just curious.
I told her to call you.
Okay, why didn't? And that's what I'm saying. So why isn't she calling? Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay.
That'd be something. It's killing me. I hate to see her.
And what is she doing to get help for herself?
Just talking with friends who are Christians that she trusts.
Okay. So if she's not even willing to call a radio program and she's just talking to friends, then you can see that's part of the problem. This is her marriage. It's her life. And she really needs to get some help. And sometimes when you think if a guy says, I have the Lord, he's okay, but he hasn't done any character work, then that's kind of wishful thinking or naive to think, oh, well, it's going to be okay now. Mylon, what are your thoughts here? What are you thinking?
Well, I agree. I think we have seen, Debbie, regarding the Protestant Catholic question, we've seen people from all religions professing Protestants, etc., who do the same thing. They lapse into or they persist in falling back into a place that's unhealthy, where they're selfish, they are womanizing, where they're addicted to pornography, they stop wearing their wedding bands, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not about what religion they're affiliating with.
Right.
And then just going to church doesn't mean that he's all of a sudden going to rebound. I have Catholic friends that are very committed to Christ and, you know, walk very good lines in the terms of their relationships and are very responsible and loving. So I really think it's about healthiness and emotional maturity, which, and Steve, you used this word earlier, characterological change. This person really needs to be in therapy where they can really, and just because they've been in counseling since fourth month, but it hasn't worked, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to the right people. There's millions of counselors out there, and not everybody is able to help some people. So they really need to look for somebody that specializes in that. But, Steve, to your point, your daughter needs to be doing something here, too. The dissolution question, I would change that to a separation says, even a legal separation that says I'm protecting and guarding myself against you, what you spend, your liabilities, et cetera. And if you want to come back to me, these are the things that I require. This is a warm boundary, but it is really insistive, where she's now driving the bus, not he. And she's demanding something of him. And then she, you know, doesn't budge on that separation until she sees true, again, to Steve's point, characterological change.
All right. I hope that's helpful to you. And it's a man that has a character problem. He has to get help for his character problem. And she has to get help for, you know, how to get in this. And I would call magical thinking of where we think somebody just goes to church or they say, hey, I've got the Lord, everything's going to be okay. You got to work. And the fact that they haven't done the work with a great counselor that can help them do the work, all sorts of potential, has nothing to do with being Catholic or Protestant. If both people are willing to do the work, they need to go to work.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. And Larry, mid-May here, we need folks to step up, help us out, talk to us a little bit.
Well, you know what? I was just thinking about the many different ways people get help from us. You know, I was on a program a week or so ago, and a lady said three words changed her life, changed her daughter's life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, we have workshops online and in person. Hopefully we'll resume those again soon. counseling sessions people go to. People just call our call center staff, get some resources and help. There's so many ways God works, but it all takes money. And we're doing more than ever before. You're doing Facebook Live videos. We're creating and sending daily videos. There's just a lot of stuff we're doing. But we need support to keep it going. And we had a group of people that got together and pulled their resources, and we have a matching fund that they have asked us to challenge y'all with. So if you would be able to make a gift, we have this pool of money. It started at $369,000 a couple weeks ago. And as you make a gift, we get to pull that much money right out of that and use it. So if you give $100, you're giving $200 because we're able to take $100 out of that fund. So would you please make a gift, you know, whatever size you can give, up to that maximum. And you can give online. You can give by calling 800-NEW-LIFE. You could text. Text to give. Just text 28950 and type in NLM. That stands for New Life Ministries. NLM and the word match, M-A-T-C-H. And one time register, and every time after that you want to give by text, you can do so without anything but the text. So yeah. we need your support.
Help us if you can.
And we thank everybody who's giving, has given, and has created this match for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had some amazing blessings, and please keep up the great, great work, please, because God is doing some great things here. We want to continue to do it. So help us if you can. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call.
Steve, can I comment?
Yes, please.
Well, I have been with New Life for 16 years, and it's been very exciting. It's hard to believe 16 years has gone by. But I want our listening and viewing audience to really understand. I know I say this a lot, and it's my pleasure to say this, and it's unsolicited by anyone else. What good stewards New Life is of the monies that are sent into New Life Ministries. And it costs a lot of money to be on the air. We have to pay for our airtime, unlike a lot of other shows where commercials pay for that. The person who's hosting the show doesn't have to pay anything. We have to pay, plus they have commercials. So this is not just something that New Life is asking for because they're not good stewards. This will always be a need. It'll always be present because airtime is expensive. And New Life and Larry and Steve, you guys do a phenomenal job. And I just want the listening audience to know that.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you can help us, please do. And let's go to, we'll get one time for one final caller. Let's go to Sandy from Phoenix, Arizona. Sirius XM is the station. Hi there. How can we help you today?
Hi there. So my question for you guys is how can I encourage my husband to let go of keeping things? And to give just a small background, he's not a hoarder, but I've always considered him a mini, hoarder. Keeps old vehicles that he's never, says he's going to redo and whatever, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Rooms full of things, keeps clothes, keeps just things. And I believe that the attachment is a feeling to the things. And, we've been married 32 years, and I get to the place where I want to leave. I just want to go buy my own place and live by myself and stay married.
Well,
I want to
stay
married,
something. But
I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. Why do you describe him as not being a hoarder when everything you said describes him as being a hoarder? And because people that are married to hoarders want to move out. That's what they do. Well, why do you say he's not a hoarder? Just curious. He is a hoarder. That's what hoarders do.
Well,
everything you said, he's a hoarder.
Well, I've watched, the shows of hoarding, and I'll use an example. I have, I have a large house, and the garage is filled with stuff. There's a bedroom. We have room, but my house is not like a hoarder house. But I would say
It's not, what you've seen on TV.
Right. No, it's nothing close. Yeah. Like, I have a 3,600 square foot house, 20, uh-huh. you know, let's say 3,000 square feet of it is beautiful and clean and nice and wonderful. But it's these, it's the garage, it's the backyard, it's the stuff.
Well,
that,
I can't,
like,
if you,
I can't,
okay, but if it's, if it's so minimal, I can't believe you'd want to leave. So I'm just going to ask Mylan to give you the best 30 seconds he's got before we close out the program. Or take 60, Mylan. What do you think she ought to do with the non-hoarding hoarder?
Well, the mini hoarder. I like that.
Yeah, mini hoarder.
Listen, Sandy, that would be very hard to deal with.
Yeah,
and
really.
Number one. Number two, thank you for calling. Thirdly, I think it's really important that you explore one of the words you used, which was very astute, by the way, that you use the word attachment. Why do people stay attached to things? And often a history of their own struggles with attachment relationally causes them to hold on to physical things, either that have sentimental value and remind them of those attachments, or are simply they can't let go of things because letting go has very strong feelings of that are severe. I would go to counseling, I would go to couples counseling, and I would, instead of making the, you know, the presentation can be really the collection and holding on to things, but really the issue is he is struggling emotionally, and to find out what that is, because it's affecting your marriage. And I would go in together as a couple and work on that.
Yeah, really, really good advice there. And I hope that that is helpful to you, and I wish we had more time. But look, here's what God says about all this. It's pretty simple, but complex. What would it profit somebody if you could accumulate everything possible but lose your soul? That wouldn't be a good thing. And we don't want that for anybody. And so whether you're accumulating stacks of money or stuff in a home, if it causes you to lose your first love of Christ and deviate from loving others well, then you got to take a look at it. We've got counselors that can help you with that. We would love to. And all you have to do is call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the same number to call. If you can help us, matching fund, every dollar you give, it gets doubled. So please do it. It's the best time ever. We hope that something we've said is helpful here. Hope that kind of as the country's opening up a little bit, that you're starting to feel better. But if you don't struggle alone. What is so fantastic is to watch people that have been hiding or secluding or isolating to open up and get some help and to see life start to unfold in a totally different way. And that's what we want for you. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You know, we've got some great, great intensives coming up. We're doing them online. You don't have to travel. They're less expensive, easier to do, especially what Mylan and I are doing with Kay, our intimacy and marriage intensive. It is fantastic and would make any marriage a little bit or a lot better. You call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Help us if you can. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.